Well, as you can tell, we're going to be talking about prayer. And, you know, prayer is, there are things that prayer is, and there are things that prayer is not. Some of the things that prayer is not, it's not a magic wand. It's not something, it's not a a vending machine. Prayer is not. Another example would be, it's not a fire extinguisher. Sometimes I think we as believers, as humans, we see it that way. Even though Jacob wrestled with God, prayer is not a tug-of-war. It's not like you're tugging with God and he, you know, loses the battle and so he gives in. It's not, prayer is not a tug-of-war. Prayer is not a ritual to relieve guilt. Now, I'm just going to give you the umbrella, because the next 6 weeks we're going to talk about prayer, but the umbrella or the big picture is it's all about having a relationship. It's all about connecting with the Father, being in relationship. And so but a lot of people in this world pray. In fact, if you put the word prayer or pray in Google, at, you know, a few days ago, it was at 1.1 billion websites for the word prayer or pray. Amazon has 70,000 books on prayer. You type in Bible Gateway, you type in just the word pray, and there are 367 verses with the word pray. That doesn't include prayer, that doesn't include ask, seek, knock. There's a lot of verses that indicate prayer but don't use the word prayer or pray, but there is a lot of information or a lot of people who pray, and it's important. But really, we need to ask the question at the beginning of this series, why do we pray? Why do we pray? And if it, hopefully it's not like the list I gave you, the magic wand, the vending machine, the fire extinguisher. Hopefully it is to have a relationship with God. Prayer was God's idea. It was His idea in the first place. He created you and I to pray. Everybody prays. Well, I would think everybody does. In fact, I heard someone say this in a sermon, that even an atheist will pray if you hit them. Right? They don't say, oh me. What do they say? Oh God. Right? Most of the time, right? But not everybody prays to the same thing. Some people pray to idols. Some people pray to the force, the cosmic realm, Buddha. My dad has told me a story where he would talk to a Hindu who has a donut shop in Salem, and he asked the Hindu, like, how do you keep track of all those gods? The millions and millions of gods that they pray to. And in fact, there are people who pray to dead ancestors. They pray to different things. But what do we pray and how do we pray? Who do we pray to? We pray to God. We pray to Jesus Christ, the living God, the creator, the provider. The one who is our Savior, our Heavenly Father, and our friend. And so hopefully those things will be unpacked a little bit in the next few weeks about prayer. I went to the Dollar Tree yesterday, and I found this little bear, this prayer bear, and it actually has a button. It says, try me. And very, Amen. It's very cute. And I think anybody would love this as a child or whatever. But and in some ways, this is a simple prayer. Right? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Right? It's a simple prayer. But if you're just praying it, you know, to save your soul at night before you go to bed, you know, I pray the Lord my soul to keep that I don't wake up in the morning dead, right? Then it really doesn't have much purpose. You're just praying for someone to protect you from dying. And in reality, the whole point of praying is it's about a relationship with God. In fact, God created us. It says in Scripture, in the Bible, it says God created us in His image. So, we are made to communicate, to pray with God. Animals don't pray. Dogs don't pray. Cows, you know, deer, they don't pray. They're not made in God's image. They are God's creation, but they are different than us. We are different. So when we talk about prayer, it is the greatest privilege and it is the greatest responsibility. But why is it difficult? Why do we find it difficult as adults? I mean, if I called up any of you to pray up here on the stage, you might sweat a little bit and your heart might pitter-patter and you get a little nervous. Probably because you don't know what to pray or how to pray. And in fact, you put it in front of people, then it makes it more difficult. So we don't know how to pray sometimes. We don't know how what to say. We don't know how long to pray. We wonder of what kind of prayers does God answer. I mean, have you ever thought that? Like, if I pray it this way, God will answer. Am I alone in this? Is this, I mean, you know, what kind of things should I pray? How do I know that God hears my prayers? How do I know that God even cares? Maybe these are things that you have, you know, wrestled with in your mind and in your life. And then what is the secret to answering prayers? Like, if I've been praying for this long, 6 years or whatever, and yet I pray for this and it just happens overnight. I mean, why? How does that work, God? Well, we're going to look at this for the next 6 weeks. We're going to look at how to do what God has wired us to do, and that is to pray. We are going to learn how to pray in and through difficulties. We're going to learn how learn why we should pray, and why is it important to be persistent. And we're going to look at how prayer is the primary way to communicate with God, and also the primary way to defeat the enemy. And so praying, my hope is that that you and I will come out of this more confident in our prayers, more committed and connected to God, and that our faith will be strengthened because of it. So the purpose of prayer this morning, why do we pray? Why is prayer so important to God? Well, number one, it was God's idea. He invited, that's not a point, I'll get to the point, number one. But that the most important is it was God's idea. He invites you to pray because He wants to hear from you. He loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want, we're going to talk about this a little more next week. He's like a father that wants to sit down and listen to all of your woes and all of your concerns and all of your joys and all of your excitements and everything that's going on in your head. He wants to hear about those things. And just like a parent, he wants to tell you things. Just like a friend as well. He cares about every little detail of your life. Scripture says that he knows every single how many hairs you have on your head or don't have. He knows the details of your life, but he wants to have a relationship with you. So he created this communication between us and him called prayer. John 14:16. There's nothing too big or too small for his attention. John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. He wants to help you. He wants to hear what your struggles are. He wants to hear what your joys are. Jesus talked about prayer all the time. And he acted it out. He went and prayed all the time. And so the first, I'm going to give you four this morning. Four reasons, purposes that Jesus talked about, reasons why you should pray and why it's important to pray. The purpose of prayer. Number one is on the back of your bulletin. Prayer is an act of commitment to God. It is a dedication. It's like, I'm committed, I'm dedicated to this relationship. So it's an opportunity for you to express your dedication, your dependence in some ways. You can put it that way. You're saying, Lord, I need you. One of the biggest hindrances to prayer and one of the biggest hindrances to your relationship with God is pride. Pride. When we say, I don't need you, I can do it on my own. We think we can do everything or most things on our own. And so we don't feel that dependency on God. We don't think we need His help. This has been going on since the beginning of time, right? Adam and Eve got into some trouble because they thought they could do it all on their own. They don't need God. He doesn't know what He's talking about. Right? And so, we get into that place like every human being has been in that place where we believe that we don't need God. We can do it on our own. And that is called pride. But prayer is being honest with God and in humility saying things like, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm looking up to you to take care of this. And so as long as you think you have it all together, prayer is not going to be that important to you. As long as you think you can fix it, you're not going to pray. And so, some have said, and we've heard this quote before, only when you come to the end of yourself, that's when you come to the beginning of God. When you come to the end of your rope, you've heard that phrase, that's where God's office is. And so, Jesus talked about dependence and He depended on the Father, He prayed, and He had that relationship with the Father. The more you pray, the more you will be dependent on God. The less you pray, the more dependent you will be on yourself. Right? John 15:5 and also verse 7. Jesus is saying, this is a very important thing, not just with prayer, but with your relationship with God. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's like an empty check. You know, we got a $64,000 check, but that's like an empty check. You could write in whatever you want, whatever you wish, and ask it. Now, that ask is, there's the basis of that is dedication. The basis of that ask, that, Lord, please do this, or will you do this, it is connected with that commitment with God. And so if you are in, you are in the vine, when you are with God, when you are in sync with Him, when you are trusting Him, when you are submitting to Him, then when you ask, the questions are going to be connected with His will and His will with yours. So number one is commitment with God. The second one is communication. And in communication, it's not a one-way street. I talked about this before, last week. It's not just me babbling and talking to God about everything. It's a two-way street. Most of our problems in life, and you could probably attest to this, most of our problems in life is miscommunication. Right? Lack of communication. We live in a world where technology has made that more difficult. I text my wife from up here at the church, and she's down there at the house, and an hour later she gets my text. Didn't you get my text? You know, it's like we begin to rely on the technology, and that technology breaks down, and then there's miscommunication, even in person. When we have communication with one another, we can misunderstand and have that that miscommunication in our relationships. So prayer is an act of communication. You can't understand anyone unless you communicate with them. I mean, you can try. You can assume. But until you sit down with them and listen, and they listen to you, that's when you can understand them better. And it's the same way with God. Communication with God is vital, and it is important to learn in your personal life, but also in your spiritual life. To learn how to communicate with and to God. And so prayer is an act of commitment, and it is an act of communication to Him. So what is this relationship with God? John 15:15 through 16, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Jesus says that He calls us friends. The Creator of the universe calls us friends. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, calls us friends. We can approach the throne of God because of Jesus. I love the fact that in this community, you can call someone, you can knock on their door, you can text them, and you can say, hey, I need this tool to do this project. Can you help me out? Do you have one? I mean, I could say Rod Holman is one of those friends of mine. By the way, I have your sander in my garage. But isn't that the case, that a friend has the ability to connect and help, give you a resource. If you ask, they will freely give you that resource if they have it. That's what a friend is for, and vice versa. And that's amazing that we can have that relationship with God like we have a friend like on earth here. He doesn't treat us, it says, he doesn't treat us like servants anymore or slaves, but as friends. And if you keep reading in John 15 and you get to the next verse, what do I have? I didn't write that down. Is it? What's after 15 and 16? Do you have that? Nope. Well, I didn't write it down. That's all right. I'll pull it up in my physical Bible. Yeah, I was thinking of another one. That's right. Okay, we'll move on. So he doesn't treat us like servants or slaves, but as friends. And so we are invited to talk to the Creator, and we're invited to talk to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is what prayer is. And so, God asks us to commune with Him. He invites us. He wants to have that relationship with Him. And so that in some ways, it's a dedication, it's commitment, and it's also a communication. Prayer is both those things. Number three, prayer is an act of calling on God. This is a word, a scriptural word called supplication, calling on God. Many of us have called on God when we are in dire need. Many of us have called on God when somebody in our life is sick or hurting. Many of us have called on God because we are afraid of where our country is going. This is called supplication. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition," petition is another word for supplication, "with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, when you read that and you break it down, you realize that God is inviting us to present our requests to Him with thanksgiving, but to present them to Him, and then what happens? Peace comes over us. It transcends all of our thinking. Like, it is more than what we could ever think of. We tend to think, spiral down into thinking, well, what if this happens, or what if this happens, or why, what if I do this and this happens, right? That's the anxiety. But God says for us to present those anxieties to Him, and to do it with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will transcend, will go over that, will cover over that, and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, if you continue on, you get to the bottom of Philippians 4, a few verses down, and you see that it says, "The God of peace will be with you," which just solidifies that if the God of peace, who is giving us peace, then that holds water, right? Because He is the God of peace. He can give us peace. And that transcends all of our concerns. And so when you ask, when you call on the Lord, the result will be peace of mind. Isn't that good? I can say in my life when I've been tense, when I've lost something that I can't find, when I've had something break, that it says in Scripture to cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And so He's asking us to do that. Not for some vending machine, waving a wand thing, but to have a relationship, to connect with Him, to build that relationship and deepen that relationship. And so when you ask, God will answer. John 16, 23 and 27, it says, "In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." You will be full of joy when you have this relationship with God. Your joy will be full because when you ask, He will answer. Now, it may not be the exact answer that you were hoping for, but God does answer, and He does answer in His timing, in His provision, in His sovereignty. He provides. He answers. And so prayer is God's method for meeting your needs. Now, I'll say it again because sometimes I think we need to hear things twice. God's chosen method of meeting your needs is prayer. Can I say it again, maybe? I don't know. You got it? Way to go. There are some things that God has promised to do only if we ask. Now, I don't know, you know, I'm thinking, maybe you're thinking the same thing sometimes as I am, because sometimes if we think, well, God's sovereign, He knows all of my needs, He knows all of my desires, so why should I even ask? I mean, I even ask this question about missionaries, which this is wrong thinking, but I'm just saying, well, if God could reveal Himself to people over in a third world country, why do they need to send us? Well, that's not right, right? That God has invited us into a relationship with Him, and He invites us to pray, even though He knows the answers, He knows the questions, He knows what's on our mind. But here's the clincher. He's set it up in His sovereignty. He's set it up so that some things, I wouldn't say all things, but some things He will not respond or answer until we pray. So, the reason why, I think one of the reasons why, but one of the reasons is God is more interested in a relationship with you than meeting needs. God is more interested in connecting and having a relationship with you than He already knows what you need. He just wants you to ask. It's the same thing as our children, or, you know, when they came to us and they ask us for things, and we know that those things that they're asking at that moment would be okay for them. Now, obviously, there's things that they ask for that are not okay for them. But when they ask for things that are okay and we want to bless them, we want to show our love to them, we have no problem giving what we want, what they've asked for. But if they don't come and ask us, we don't always know, like we don't always give what they until they ask, right? And so, when we pray, we need to ask. And there are some things in life God will only give only after we ask. James 4:2 says, "You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." So, in some ways, that's us trying to fix the problem, right? We're trying to fulfill our needs, our desires on our own, in our own pride. And the last part of that verse is, when we humble ourselves and we ask, God provides what we need. He also provides what we desire. 20 times in the New Testament, we are told to ask. Charles Spurgeon said this, "God never shuts his storehouses until you shut your mouth." Don't stop asking. Prayer is an act of commitment. Prayer is an act of communication with God. Prayer is an act of calling on Him, supplicating, calling on Him for the needs of you, yourselves, and others. And so what are you lacking today? What can you ask Him for? The Bible says, ask for what you want. Psalms 145:19. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cries and saves them. Now, if you reference God, if you trust Him, you're going to ask, your desires are going to be right. If you are seeking Him first, right? Seek first His kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. And so if you're seeking, if you're trusting and reverencing Him first, your desires will be the same as His desires. Psalm 37:4 says the same. Delight thing too. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's the same thing with the vine. If you remain in Him and He remains in you, you will have the same. You will have like the same heartbeat. You will have the same. You'll be on the same page. You'll be synchronized, and then your desires will be the same as His. And then you ask, and He gives. And so, seek first His kingdom. Another passage, and like I said, there's lots of passages and there's lots of information on prayer. But Matthew 7:9-11 gives us that that verse about the stone and the fish and stuff like that. So let's read it because I might get it out of order if I don't read it. "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" Right? Bread is important, right? We eat it. It fills us up. Why would a father or a mother give a son a stone if they ask for bread? That's silly. "Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake?" I think fish probably tastes better than snake. "But if you," verse 11, "then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more," this is a comparison, right? The human is sinful and fallible, and God is not. And if the fallible, sinful person gives good gifts, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? In the NIV, it has an exclamation point. Not that it was there in the Greek, but God delights in answering our requests. God delights in it because He wants to have a relationship with you like a father has with a son or a daughter, like a friend has with a friend. And so prayer is an act of commitment. I am committed to you, Lord, so I'm going to talk to you. And then prayer is an act of communication, so I'm going to communicate with you. And prayer is an act of calling on the Lord, so I'm going to ask for those things that are important, that are people are struggling around me, and I'm going to ask for you to heal somebody, and I'm going to continue to supplicate and ask for these things. And prayer is the last one, number four, is an act of cooperation with God. Willingness to cooperate with God's plan by praying His will be done right here on earth. And so prayer is God's way of letting us partner with Him to accomplish His purposes. This is amazing promise that God will accomplish His purposes on earth if we engage and pray for those to happen. John 14, 13 through 14 says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Wow. And how is it possible to do greater things than Jesus? Well, one person I heard said that Jesus is limited. He limited himself because he was fully human, fully God, but he limited him to himself here on earth for such a time as this, and he did not go to India or to Australia. He didn't go to these certain places and minister. He was in a certain area. So he limited himself. And so for you and I, because we have Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit in us, prayer is not limited to time or to space. Meaning, you and I can pray for someone in India, and God will hear our prayers, and He will make something happen in through our prayer. Lord, I pray for this person over in China, and God can move and change a heart. So your prayer for people can, through the power of Jesus Christ, can change hearts. So why is prayer important? Why should I be praying? Because the power of God can change hearts and lives. And He has invited us into that cooperation. Prayer makes the impossible possible. Prayer is limitless in its power through Jesus Christ. So some of those people that don't know Jesus yet, they can give you an argument. They can push back on it. I've had conversations with atheists. They are not even interested in, they could come up with something just for the fact that they do not want to believe. And that's, you could talk till you're blue in the face. But when you pray for them, God's power can move in their hearts. And He can soften someone's heart. Proverbs 21:1 says, "In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him." And we've seen this in the Old Testament. God can change a king's heart to follow him. And to do, he changes hearts. God can change the course of a person's life, even history, through prayer. So I'll finish up with this. God is powerful. He's got the resources. He's able to do it. This is the cooperation part of prayer. Our part of cooperating in God's plan in the world, and it's called prayer. Prayer is an act of commitment. communication, calling out, calling on Him, and cooperation. And this is why learning about prayer, but also learning how to pray, is so important. And so I want to just kind of let you know that our conference is doing 40 days of prayer starting this Tuesday, the 12th of October, through November 20th. And so I want to encourage you to pray for those 40 days, every day, pray along with the conference and with us for God's will. There are going to be devotionals put out from different pastors all over the conference. And this one is, I just printed off 12 of them today. If you want to have one, they're in the back. But this is the first week, and there's 5 days, and they're different devotionals on prayer and what things to pray for, mostly about prayer at this point. But throughout the 40 days and the 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer, we're going to be learning about prayer, and we're going to be praying. And so, to kind of finish this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to pray. So next week, we're going to pray together in smaller groups. But this morning, I want you to take a minute, and I want you to ask God, or talk to God, about something that has been on your heart, that's been on your mind, that has been difficult for you. Maybe you're anxious about it. Maybe you need some resolution. You need something to resolve in your life, and you haven't talked to God about it yet. And I want to encourage you to spend a few seconds. I know a minute's pretty long, maybe 30 seconds, and I'll conclude with prayer. But I want you to take just that time and ask God. Tell Him about it, but then ask Him to help you to hear from Him about that situation. Think about one specific thing that's on your mind that you're worried about, and ask God to help you. God wants to answer that prayer. And so we are going to believe and trust Him for that answer. So for the next 40 seconds, would you come up and play a little bit for us? Let's just seek the Lord for a few seconds here. And it's so good to know that we can cast our cares upon You. And Father, we want to see breakthroughs in our lives. Or we want to see miracles. We want to see Your movement. We want to have eyes to see and ears to hear what You're doing. Or we pray that we would not give in to apathy or even unbelief. That, Lord, you would be the one that changes our hearts and stirs us up into this communion with You. In fact, when we were sinners, You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us, and we weren't even interested at first. And yet You have reached out to us. And so we reach back to You. Lord, we want to know You more. We want to experience more of You. We want our faith to be deepened. We want to live life to the fullest in the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray Your Spirit would move in us. In Jesus' name. Amen.